Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Chaplain Johnson of the Senate. Remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Chaplain Johnson.
Let's pray. God, each one of us represents others. And we come to you today as a God who cares and who hears and who loves. And today we lift to you people in our communities who are struggling. We pray today for Montanans who are struggling financially, perhaps without housing or without jobs. We pray for people who are struggling in relationships. We would pray for reconciliation and peace. We pray for people who face illnesses or physical challenges. Restore them to full health. And we pray for people who mourn the loss of loved ones today. Be their refuge and be their comfort. God, thank you for walking with us, and walk with us here today in this process as well. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, take the roll.
Mr. President, 49 members are present. Senator Wagner is excused.
Quorum being present, the Senate is ready for business. That objection will go to order of business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are Committee on Agriculture, Livestock, and Irrigation report that Senate Bill 561 do pass, and then House Bill 276 be concurred in. Senator Mike Lang, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Business, Labor, and Economic Affairs report that House Bills 72, 101, 154, 371, 379, 427, 555, 78, and 615 be concurred in, and that House Bills 314 and 758 be concurred as amended. Senator Jason Small, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Energy and Telecommunications report that Senate Resolution 59 be adopted and that House Bill 284 be concurred as amended. Senator Walt Sales, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Finance and Claims report that Senate Bills 298, 529, 549, and 550 do pass, and that Senate Bill 334 do pass as amended, and that House Bill 81 be concurred and signed. Senator John Esp, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Highways and Transportation report that Senate Bill 521 do pass as amended, and that House Bill 622 and 640, 664 and 764 be concurred and as amended. Senator Teresa Manzella, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Judiciary report that Senate Bills 272, 518, 555, and 559 do pass, and that Senate Bill 524 do pass as amended, that House Bills 661, 695, 721, 786 be concurred in, and that House Bill 689, 309, 361 be concurred in as amended. Senator Keith Regeer, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on State Administration report that House Bills 107, 190, 298, 306, 329, 335, 384, and 712 do be concurred in, and that House Bill 63 and 754 be concurred as amended. Senator Mike Cuff, Chair, that is all, Mr. President.
That objection, the committee reports are adopted. That objection will go to order business number five, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives from the Senate the following actions. The following House bills were on this table three several times and passed silent, and agreed to, and are herewith transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. House Bill 6, Hopkins. House Bill 7, Hopkins. House Bill 8, Hopkins. House Bill 9, Hopkins. House Bill 10, Hopkins. House Bill 11, Fitzpatrick. House Bill 152, Mercer. House Bill 352, Barker. House Bill 423, Amy Regeer. That is all, Mr. President. Signed, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House. That is all, Mr. President.
That objection will go to order business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, House Bill 6 through 11, 152, 352, and 423 have been introduced, read first time in approved committee. That is all, Mr. President.
Senator Denwell.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I be off the record and out of the journal for the purposes of an announcement, please?
You may.
Thank you. Members of the body, Mr. President, today is National Transgender Visibility Day. And in honor of the rally and the folks who voiced their input here at the Capitol during the noon hour, many of whom are our transgender neighbors, friends, loved ones, I'd like to read, Mr. President, a message from Anthony Blinken, our U.S. Secretary of State, just an excerpt. On Transgender Day of Visibility, the United States reaffirms that transgender rights are human rights. We celebrate the achievements and resilience of transgender, non-binary, and gender non-conforming persons in Montana and around the world. We recognize their bravery in their hard-fought work for equality, inclusion, and the full recognition of their human rights, which continues to this day, as we know. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body.
Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I be off the record and out of the journal for an introduction?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Today in the gallery, I have some family from out of state, from Southern California. My sister, big sis Jean, who kept me on the straight and narrow, kind of. And my brother-in-law and good friend, Greg Baird. My nephew, Aaron Baird from Utah. And my great-nephews, Aiden Baird and Ryland Baird.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Zolnikoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I be off the record out of the journal for a quick story?
You may.
Long ago, when sailing ships ruled the waves, a captain and his crew were in danger of being boarded by a pirate ship. As the crew became frantic, the captain bellowed to his first mate, "Bring me my red shirt." The first mate quickly retrieved the captain's red shirt, which the captain put on and led the crew to battle the pirate boarding party. Although some casualties occurred among the crew, the pirates repelled. Later that day, the lookout screamed that there were two pirate vessels sending boarding parties. The crew cowered in fear, but the captain, calm as ever, bellowed, "Bring me my red shirt." Once again, the battle was on. However, the captain and his crew repelled both boarding parties through the times, though this time more casualties occurred. Weary from the battles, the man sat around on deck that night, recounting the day's occurrences, when an ensign looked to the captain and asked, "Sir, why did you call for your red shirt before the battle?" The captain, giving the ensign a look that only a captain can give, exhorted, "If I am wounded in battle, the red shirt does not show the wound, and thus you men will continue to fight unafraid. The men sat in silence, marveling at the courage of such a man. As dawn came the next morning, the lookout screamed that there were pirate ships, 10 of them, all with boarding parties on their way. The men became silent and looked to the captain, their leader, for his usual command. The captain, calm as ever, bellowed, "Bring me my brown pants." I was looking up pirate jokes, so I just want to share that. Thank you, Mr. President.
Welcome back, Senator. Mr. Pirate. Senator Heimbach.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to be off the record and out of the journal for an invitation.
You may.
Introduction. So we have with us in this gallery up here some kids from the junior high in Glendive, Montana. They're the student council of the junior high with our teacher, Danetta Schaft.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Small.
Yes, Mr. President, I'd like to be off the record now in the journal for the purpose of an introduction.
You may.
Yes, members of the body, up in the balcony today, I have one of my oldest friends and his two boys, Layton and Cooper, up there, and they're hoping to see a pretty gnarly floor debate, maybe on something like road maintenance money. So good to see you guys. Thank you for coming up.
Welcome to the Senate. That objection will go to order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, House Bill 188, introduced by Perry, a bill for the title, Extend Funding to Coal Board.
House Bill 188 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, nay. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
49 have voted yes. House Bill 188 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 457, addressed by Buckley, a bill for enacting entitled Criminalize Use of Date Rape Drugs.
House Bill 457 has been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, nay. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes. Zero have voted no.
49 have voted yes. House Bill 457 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 313, introduced by Etchard, a bill for an act entitled to provide for independent practice of physician assistance.
House Bill 313 has been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, nay. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Cuff? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 36 have voted yes, 13 have voted no.
36 haven't voted yes, 13 haven't voted no. House Bill 313 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 392, introduced by Etchard, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Midwifery Laws.
House Bill 392 has been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? All those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, nay. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Weber? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 voted yes. Zero have voted no.
49 members having voted yes, House Bill 392 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 458, introduced by Anderson, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Regulations Governing the Eligibility of Career Coaches.
House Bill 458 has been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, nay. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 48 voted yes. One has voted no.
48 members haven't voted yes. One haven't voted no. House Bill 458 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 459, introduced by Perry, a bill for an act entitled Revised Filing Deadline for Intangible Land Value Property Tax Exemption.
House Bill 459 has been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, nay. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes. Zero have voted no.
49 have voted yes. House Bill 459 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 497, introduced by Anderson, a bill for an act entitled Require a Property Tax Bill to Include Comparison with Prior Year.
House Bill 497 has been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes. Zero have voted no.
49 have voted yes. House Bill 497 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 531, introduced by Brockman, a bill for an act entitled Establish Annual Combined Meeting of the Board of Education.
House Bill 531 has been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, nay. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes. Zero have voted no.
49 have voted yes. House Bill 531 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 586, introduced by Oblander, a bill for an act entitled Allow Fossils Found on State Lands to be Housed in Local Museums.
House Bill 586 has been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, nay. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes. Zero have voted no.
49 have voted yes. House Bill 586 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 593, introduced by Marler, a bill for an act entitled Revised Fish Wildlife Park Laws related to publishing the number of non-resident licenses.
House Bill 593 has been read through several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 46 have voted yes. 3 have voted no.
46 haven't voted yes. 3 haven't voted no. House Bill 593 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Joint Resolution 9, introduced by Reed, a bill for an act entitled Joint Resolution for Montana Historical Society Repository of Original 13th Amendment.
House Joint Resolution 9 has been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 48 have voted yes. One has voted no.
48 haven't voted yes. One haven't voted no. House Joint Resolution 9 has passed the Senate.
That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, we'll go to order business number 7, second reading of bills. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole for the consideration of business on second reading.
You've heard the motion of the Majority Leader. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Will Senator Curdy take the chair?
The committee will be in order.
Members of the Senate.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move Senate Bill 533 to the top of the board.
Members of the Senate, please be in order. You have now before you your consideration Senate Bill 533. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
Senate Bill 533, introduced by Nolan and Hertz, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws related to non-resident hunting, establishing a 14-day limit for non-resident hunters of game animals. Eliminating discounted licenses for non-resident college students, providing rulemaking authority, amending section, and repealing section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you have now before you Senate Bill 533. What is your pleasure, Senator Nolan?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill number 533, I recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So members, today I'm bringing House Bill 5 or Senate Bill 533, and those of you who are hunters can relate to this, and some of you who are not hunters may also relate, because I like to tell a short story. If you go, like I have over the years, and I apologize to the committee who's heard this already, for years to the same place that you go hunting time and time again, and you get there early and then you find somebody there and you go, oh shucks, and you visit with them and you find out that they are from out of state and they have that prerogative, and you've seen them actually there before. And you say, well, good luck, you know, have a great hunt. And then you go to your next favorite spot and you find another group there and you go, well, darn, you know, our good spots are being taken. And then you go to your last and final best place and there's another campsite set up. Now, this is all fair and equitable in our estate at this time. And you visit with them and a couple of them have told you, you know, we really appreciate the great state of Montana. We come here for 6 to 7 or sometimes even 8 weeks. We camp and we enjoy your entire state and we hunt and it's great. And I can appreciate that. However, some of us and some of my constituents have written and called, and some of you may have had those same calls. Why aren't we as state residents getting some benefits and some perks, where we have done this for everybody else, out-of-staters, which, you know, we do love, and we appreciate their business and them coming here, but sometimes it feels like it's abuse. So we do have a bill brought before you to limit their time in the state for actually hunting to 14 days. And also on the bill, on page, before I get into the amendment, on the last page, we also changed it to where the new section number 2 is a repealer. So the following section of Montana Code is repealed, and that's non-resident student licenses. So the non-resident students are going to have to pay just the same as our residents. So that's what the bill does, Mr. Chair. And with that, could I move the amendment?
Go ahead, Mr.
Are you going to ask if there are amendments? Is that
yeah.
what I
are
wait
Are there
for?
Any amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend Senate Bill 533 with Amendment SB 0533.001.001, signed Senator Noland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I do move House Bill 533 with that amendment, to the 0533.001.001. So in committee, we had some concerns, and some of the outfitters also brought up some concerns, so we addressed those. And what we've done, if you take look at the amendment on the back page, where on page 3, where it talks about line 10. We took out everything except elk, deer, elk, or antelope. So there were some concerns that, you know, people might want to come and do the bear hunting at a different time, and they also might want to do a bighorn sheep. So we listened to what they had to say and we appeased them, I hope. So with that, members, I hope for a green pass or green Mr. Chairman, give me that page.
Just read it.
Yeah, I can't read it. Nobody whistle. Come on. Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration the amendment 0533.001.001 deemed red. Posted and deemed red.
Is there discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, does the sponsor close? Or the question now arises in the amendment of Senator Nolan that Senate Bill 533 be amended. As many as are in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. The clerk, record the vote. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, 29 senators vote aye and 21 senators vote nay.
29 senators have voting aye and 21 have voting no. The amendment passes. Are there further amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the amendment, on the motion? Senator Nolan. Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a little conflicted on this because on the one hand, I like the two-week limitation. I think that's a step in the right direction. The second piece, though, repeals the opportunity for college students, out-of-state college students, to buy at resident rates. Is that correct?
They're getting at resident rates.
Oh, they would continue to
chair,
get resident
please.
Rates. Can I direct a question to the sponsor?
Yeah. Does the sponsor yield?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, Senator Nolan, could you clarify then
you
that
bet.
Repealer?
You bet. So we wanted to have the non-residents be able to pay the same as the residents. Did I miss that, Senator Hertz?
Through the chair, please.
Mr. Chair, I thought that's what we were doing. So, Mr. Chair, if you want to clarify.
You have a great question to me.
Does the senator...
Mr. Chair, I'd like to redirect the question to the fine senator from Polson.
Does the senator yield?
Yes, I do. So, Mr. Chair, Senator, so if you recall, the non-resident student had two different options. So if those non-resident students came from a state that actually offered Montana students who went to that state to be able to buy their licenses at resident pricing, then the non-resident students here got reciprocity. But there was another part of this code section too that also said, if you're a non-resident from a non-reciprocity state, we're gonna let you buy a license at half the price of the residents. That is what is being repealed. Those students who are from non-reciprocity states will now have to buy their licenses at the full non-residence price.
Mr. Chair, if I can comment?
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for the clarification. And with that, I can support the bill. Thanks.
Senator Heinbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We heard this bill in committee, and I want you to know that we heard that story three or four times, and it changes a little bit every time. But I don't know if it's true or not. So anyway, and I was a soft no in the committee, and I'll be I was a soft yes in the committee, and I'll be a soft yes again, whatever that means.
Senator Moeller.
Mr. Chairman, can the sponsor yield for a moment?
Does the sponsor yield?
I will, and I'll do my best.
I'm counting on you, Senator. Okay, so as amended,
through the chair, please.
We're looking at a 2-week, 14 days limitation to hunt deer, elk, antelope. Obviously, birds are not in that. How do we enforce this? Do they tell FWP these are the dates we're going to be there, and the license is only good for that? Is it the honor system? What is the enforcement mechanism for this bill should it become a statute?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in discussing this with the FWP, they say they will have that process all worked out, that yes, kind of your scenario, the way, you know, they'll come in. It's not the honor system. They have to pick their times that they're coming, whether a week or 2 weeks together, but they do get a pick, and FWP will award it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There being no further discussion, Senator Nolan, would you like to close?
I would just like to say thanks for the body for giving me a little extra leeway today. Thank you.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Nolan that when this committee does rise in port after having under consideration Senate Bill 533, that this committee does rise in report after having under they recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has everyone voted? Does anyone, any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Weber?
Mr. Chairman, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
48 senators having voted aye and 2 having voted no. It is Senate Bill 533 has passed on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. You have now before you your consideration Senate Bill or House Bill 641. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 641, introduced by Kay Zolnikoff, a bill for an act entitled an act allowing environmental reviews of impacts beyond Montana's borders if the Federal Clean Air Act regulates carbon dioxide as a pollutant, amending section and providing an immediate effective date and an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 641. What is your pleasure, Senator Marshall?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 641, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Marshall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the body, and Senator McGilvray, who is not here today, but very grateful for him standing up and making sure that we don't have a miss on this bill and we keep this bill moving forward. We're revisiting this today because I do think this is a really important bill for Montana and especially Montana companies. And I want to be clear, this bill isn't about carbon emissions from cars, cows, or about whether we think carbon's good or bad for ag or anything else. It's about being ready in Montana if carbon should ever be qualified as a pollutant by the EPA. And this is something that would only apply in a situation where a permit triggers MEPA review and the permit has carbon emissions implications. Again, should Congress ever qualify it as such, which it hasn't, and it doesn't look like it's going to be happening for a little while. So last, I would just add that currently companies are they're being sued right now for not studying the environmental impacts of carbon, despite it not being classified as a pollutant by the federal government. And this bill would provide protections to Montana companies so that we have data and they can essentially see the data and defend themselves. So this is a good bill. It makes sense, and I think it ensures Montana's ready should this ever happen. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are there amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. Seems to be the bill that won't die, unfortunately. So when we're looking at this, essentially if we pass this, it's us trying to pass protection for these companies. But the fallout of this is going to be that as soon as the federal government classifies CO2 emissions as a pollutant, then what's going to happen is ex de facto, the state of Montana is going to be requiring itself to take that under consideration. The reason I am opposed to this is not the fact that I don't want to protect our in-state companies. I think that they deserve a measure of protections for the service that they provide. The reason is because once we put this into Montana code, it's never going to come out. My short time here up at the legislature, I have found that it is next to impossible to repeal anything in once it gets into code. We amend it quite a bit, but it almost never gets repealed. And for that reason, you know, arguing yesterday on this, we found that that this debate wasn't supposed to be about how much we're going to regulate. That was for a later date, which means that debate, once this bill passes, that debate is going to happen. So it's not if we're going to regulate it. This says we are going to regulate it, and we are going to follow along with what the federal government wants to do. And there is no way I can support that and allow that CO2 be regulated. I think that this we can work on bills to actually accomplish what these companies want to accomplish without capitulating to this, as I referenced yesterday, insanity. You know, and it was referenced that we're not going to be regulating cows because we don't license cows. Well, there are countries that are regulating cows and regulating food production because of the methane emissions from flatulence, ironically, which is rather egregious in my mind. So I think that this is a fight that needs to happen. But if we capitulate the argument before we actually take our stand as a state, then I think we've already lost this fight. So this is a lot more important than what's been led on. And I think that this bill needs to be killed. I think that we should work as a legislature to find a better solution. And I urge a no vote. Thank you.
Mr. President Ellsworth.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I spoke to the good representative on this bill and now have a very clear understanding of how important this is, especially to a lot of our mining companies here in Montana. It's something today that may not be utilized, but in the future could be. With that, I'm going to ask you to vote green, Mr. Chair.
Senator Elsher.
Sorry to Mr. Chair speak after the president, but because this affects my district specifically, I did vote wrong yesterday. It's been made very clear why I was wrong, and for the sake of being able to turn your lights on in the future, please go green.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Marjo wish to close? Senator is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Marjo that when this committee does rise report after having it under consideration House Bill 641, that it recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does every member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 45 senators vote aye and 5 senators vote nay.
45 senators having voted aye and 5 having voted no, House Bill 641 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before you, for your consideration, Senate Bill 536. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
Senate Bill 536, introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act entitled an act providing funding to local governments for the maintenance of county and city roads, providing for the distribution of funds, providing administration fees, providing a fund transfer, and providing an effective date and a termination date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Will the clerk read the sections?
1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you have now before you Senate Bill 536. What is your pleasure, Senator Hertz?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 536, that I recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is the bill that Senator Small has been waiting to debate, and all of his guests in the up in the gallery. This is commonly known as the Pothole Reduction Act. So I think you can all agree with me that far before we heard about complaints about high property taxes, we have all been hearing about the potholes in our districts, the poor roads in our districts, the ones in the county. And I'm not disparaging our city and county employees. They just are doing the best that they can. So our great friends in the state of Idaho, they took $150 million of their surplus last session and gave it back to their cities and counties in order to do a little bit of maintenance on their roads, fixing potholes, a little bit of reconstruction when needed, etc. So I thought that's a great idea. We've already taken care of our taxpayers, and this money will be coming from the surplus. And what more could we do for taxpayers and help them and their local governments to fill the potholes and get the roads a little bit smoother in their district? So basically what this does, it takes $100 million from the surplus, sends it to the Department of Transportation, and on the bill, as it says, this money can only be used for construction, reconstruction, maintenance, and repair of county roads, city, town or streets, and alleys. And so I use kind of a two-tier formula here to allocate this money. So $40 million of it is going to go to our counties. $40 million is going to go to cities that have populations of 10,000 or less. And then the remaining $20 million goes to our cities that have a population of more than 10,000. And there is a chart on your desk. It's a printout, and it shows how much your individual county will get, how much individual cities might get, and it shows the allocation. So if you look on the chart, basically it's using the miles of roads. If you look at the chart of Beaverhead County at the top, miles of roads shows that, so that's a ratio, and then it gets distributed so many of the dollars, and then how much population is in Beaverhead, that's another ratio, and then for the total over to the far right, you see there's $741,000 that would go to Beaverhead County. This is about 5.5 years of gas tax allocations. So if you look through the chart, I can just pick out a few of them here, like Daniels County is going to get $302,000. Granite, $299,000. Lincoln, they got a lot of roads up there, $1.1 million. So that kind of gives you an idea. And, you know, for the grand total at the back, be $40 million to those counties. And then you turn to page 2, and you got cities under 10,000. I wanted to give a little bit more to these cities under 10,000. They really have the problems. And a lot of our bigger cities, they have state highways running through them. And so a lot of times when they're fixing up things within their city, state highway tax dollars are fixing up a lot of those roads. But, I mean, you can see, you know, in the city, Sydney's going to get like $1.2 million. Anaconda, $800,000. Libby, $600,000. Ronan, $426,000. I can tell you the roads in Ronan, Montana are in very bad shape and they could really use this money. Harlem, $180,000. These are some smaller. Belt, $117,000. So you get the idea. And then on the last page, too, it shows what our big places will get. So this means a lot. I mean, like if you're in Silver Bow County, like some of my friends are, Anaconda Deer Lodge, Anaconda Butte, $2.7 million to Silver Bow. You guys could really use that. I mean, and it's just, you start adding up these numbers. You know, I would much rather give this back to our local governments, fill up the potholes and fix our roads. I think we've given some good rebates back to our citizens already. So I hope you give this consideration with a due pass. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the bill? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not to disappoint Senator Small's friends in the gallery, I'm not sure this will be rousing. No one has ever accused me of being rousing, but anyhow, the sponsor asked the rhetorical question about a better, if we had any better way to spend our surplus. And I would argue there are a lot of things that we could spend our surplus on. $100 million would go a long way for on child care, on affordable housing, and on increasing provider rates as a couple of ideas. I urge you to vote no on this.
Senator O'Brien. Senator O'Brien passes. There being no further discussions, Senator Hertz, would you like to close?
Yes, I would, and thank you for the rousing debate. We are looking at, you know, different options for child care, affordable housing, and many other issues. We have about $1.5 billion that we're trying to figure out so we can get out of here. I believe this is just one more of a very good idea that our citizens can all recognize. When we send this money back to the local governments, they'll see the improvements in their roads, and I think they'll really appreciate it. Would request a due pass. Thank you.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Hertz that when this committee does rise report after having it under consideration, Senate Bill 3 or 536 that are recommend the same due pass. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote?
Mr. Chairman, 27 senators vote aye and 23 senators vote nay.
27 senators having voted aye and 23 having voted no. Senate Bill 536 is passed on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before your consideration Senate Resolution 64. Senator Lang, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Resolution 6-4 that are recommended do pass, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lang.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I bring you Senate Resolution 64. This is an appointment by the governor and a confirmation that the Senate Agriculture made to the Livestock Board. In the state of Montana, agriculture is the number one industry and brings about $2.5 billion a year to the state of annual sales. And these livestock people bring about half of that, 48% roughly, per year. But Lillian Anderson is from Livingston, Montana. Nina Bacchus is in Wolf Creek. And Mr. Kleinsaucer is from Augusta. He will be in the swine department. Nina Bacchus will be in the cattle. And Miss Anderson will be in the representing sheep. Nina Bacchus has been on this committee for two or three terms, and some of you that were around when we zero-based budgeted the Department of Livestock, she was one of the persons on the commission that brought that department out of the doldrums of a zero-based budget and brought it to a good standing the way it is today. Please support this confirmation of the Montana governor.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Seeing none, does the senator close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the center of motion of Senator Lang that when this committee does rise report after having under consideration Senate Resolution 64, they recommend the same be adopted. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by saying, by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does every member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk record the vote. 49 senators haven't voted aye. Senate resolution has been adopted on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before your consideration House Bill 560. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 560, introduced by Sheldon Galloway, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws related to relinquishment of parental rights, allowing parents to enter into agreements to maintain contact with their children and providing exceptions.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 560. What is your pleasure, Senator Emmerich?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 560, that it recommends the same be concurred in.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. This bill is a very simple bill. It's a very good bill. It's revising when a parent relinquishes their rights inside of a voluntary relinquishment, which quite often happens in CPS cases. It also happens in other cases. This essentially will provide, if you look on lines 13 and 14, it will provide that that the parent relinquishing the rights can enter into an agreement with the adoptive parents for a what would be considered an open adoption. So that way that those parents can have contact with that child, watch them grow up, and otherwise be a part of their lives, which I think is very important. And then there is a caveat here down on line 26 and 27. Once the child reaches 12 years of age, if there's a reason that they want to not have contact with that parent, they can so decide at that age. But I think this is a really good bill, and it provides just a little bit more family in Montana, a little bit more openness, and the ability to maintain relationships even when the mother cannot recognizes that she cannot care for the child. So with that, I would encourage a do pass.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, does the Senator Emmerich wish to close? He is closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Emmerich that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 560, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will read the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 41 senators vote aye and 9 senators vote nay.
41 senators haven't voted aye and 9 have voted no. House Bill 560 has been concurred on in second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 639. Clerk, read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 639, introduced by Mercer, a bill for an act entitled Act establishing reduction of recidivism as a purpose of the Department of Corrections, an amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 639. What is your pleasure? Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 639, it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, the carrier just before me kind of stole my thunder. He said he had a simple bill, so what I'm going to have to say is that this is a common sense bill. What it really does is adds into the purpose of the Department of Correction to minimize recidivism among offenders during and after their participation in the department's progress and monitor the rate of recidivism to determine the success of their efforts to reduce that. So really what we're saying is we want the Department of Corrections trying to keep people from coming back to prison. So with that, I'll sit.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Senator Brown, would you like to close? The Senator is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Brown that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 639, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye, and those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators haven't voted aye. House Bill 639 has been concurred on a second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you'd have now before your consideration Senate Bill 777. The clerk read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 777, introduced by Buttry, C. Knutson, and Sprunger, a bill for an act entitled an act adopting the Interstate Counseling Compact, providing rulemaking authority and providing definitions.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 777. What is your pleasure, Senator Small?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 777, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Small.
Yes, Mr. Chair. HB 777 is a bill which enters Montana into the Interstate Counseling Compact. The purpose of this compact is to facilitate interstate practice of licensed professional behavioral health counselors with the goal of improving public access to professional counseling services. This is accomplished while still preserving the regulatory authority of Montana to protect public health and safety through the use of the current system of state licensure. The Interstate Counseling Compact is designed to achieve the following objectives, and there's a little handful of them here. So, first one is increase public access to professional counseling services, enhance the state's ability to protect the public health and safety, encourage the cooperation of member states in regulating multi-state practice for licensed professional counselors, support spouses of relocating active duty military personnel, enhance the exchange of licensure, investigative, and disciplinary information among member states, supply the uniformity of professional counseling licensure requirements throughout the states to promote public safety and public health benefit, invest all member states with the authority to hold a licensed professional counselor accountable for meeting all state practice laws in the state in which the client is located at the time care is rendered through mutual recognition of member state licenses. Eliminate the necessity for licenses in multiple states, and lastly, provide opportunity for interstate practice by licensed professional counselors who meet 8 uniform licensure requirements. For Montana to participate in the compact, the state must meet the requirements as listed in Section 3 of the bill. This section details the training, topic areas of education, examination requirements, complaint process for the public, data systems required, adverse actions, criminal history record requirements, and more. And it also makes clear that licenses may still be issued for professional single state licenses where nothing in the compact can affect the requirements established by Montana for the issuance of a single state license. And then after that, basically the rest of the bill specifies what an active duty military member and their spouse designate as their home state, and gives the ability for the professional counselor to practice via telemedicine, and details the process for taking of adverse action by a state against a licensed professional counselor and their privilege to practice. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator Small, would you like to close? The senator is closed. Question now arises on the motion, Senator Small, that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 777, and recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote?
Mr. Chairman, 46 senators vote aye and 4 senators vote nay.
46 senators having voted aye and 4 voting no. House Bill 777 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before you for your consideration House Bill 158. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 158, introduced by Kazmaier by request of the Department of Livestock, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws related to custom exempt facilities, updating regulatory oversight of custom exempt facilities to match federal requirements, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 158. What is your pleasure, Senator McCamey?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 158, that the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator McCamey.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, this is a piece of very important legislation. First of all, it talks about bringing custom-exempt facilities into regulatory oversight and alignment with federal requirements. And just by way of information, a custom exemption is for personal use, and the meat that is produced there must be marked clearly not for sale. And that is very strictly what it is. It's a safety measure and a clarification measure. Committee, if you have any questions, by all means, I'll be happy to answer them. But I urge a do pass. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator wish to close. Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator McCamey. Then when this committee is rising report, after having under consideration House Bill 158, you recommend the same be concurred in. As many are as in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will read the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators having voted aye, House Bill 158 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the Senate, you please be in order. Members, you have now before your consideration Senate Bill 159. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 159, introduced by Casmer by request of the Department of Livestock, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws related to the Livestock Crime Stoppers Act, repealing the Livestock Crime Stoppers Commission, remanding the Livestock Crime Stoppers Commission duties to the Department of Livestock, amending sections and repealing sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 159. What is your pleasure, Senator Welborn?
I move that, Mr. Chair, when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration House Bill number 159, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Welborn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. This bill simply repeals the Livestock Crime Stoppers Commission. This was at the department's request. As we learned from the good senator from Malta, the Board of Livestock is made up of producers, so this is an industry-driven ask, and it just simply cleans up a piece of code that is no longer necessary, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, does the senator wish to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Welborn that when this committee is rise in port, after having under consideration House Bill 159, and recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Usher?
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and one senator votes nay.
49 senators have voting aye and one having voted no. House Bill 159 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before you for your consideration Senate Bill 388. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 388, introduced by Casmer, a bill for an act entitled an act increasing penalties for importing livestock without health inspection and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 388. What is your pleasure? Senator Bartel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill number 388, that I recommend that the same be concurred in.
Senator Bartel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This, again, is another bill from the Department of Livestock. And what this bill does is basically just changes the fine and makes it a little stiffer. We heard what that is the importing of livestock without a health certificate. We've heard in committee that we're having issues, and $500 doesn't seem to slow it down. So now it'll be $500. We're changing it to $500 per animal, or up to $5,000. So I would just ask for a due pass so we can try to solve that problem. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to support this bill, and as I stated earlier, the livestock business in Montana is $1 billion a year, and we cannot have an animal coming in and carrying disease from out of state, bringing it to the state, so this is a good find. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Lang, or Senator Bartel, would you like to close? Senator has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Bartel that when this committee does rise in port after having under consideration House Bill 388, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Weber. Senator Weber? The clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators have voted aye.
50 senators haven't voted aye. House Bill 388 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before you for your consideration House Bill 418. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 418, introduced by Fitzgerald, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising Limitations on Irrigable Acreage Within an Irrigation District, providing definition and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 418. What is your pleasure, Senator Lang?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that this committee does rise and report after having it under consideration House Bill 418 that I recommend be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lang.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm bringing you 418. This is a bill that has to do with irrigation in the state, and as a lot of times we get intervention from the federal laws, and there's lots of federal changes of laws, and or not laws, but with the word definitions. So the definition of qualified recipient really fits those entities that are crossed out there, but some lawyers that have objected, so that's why qualified recipient is in there. And I think privately held irrigation districts should be able to set their own rules how they want their members to partake. Please vote green.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, does the senator like to close? Senator has closed. Question now rises on the motion of Senator Lang that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 418, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will read the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators have voted aye.
50 senators haven't voted aye. House Bill 418 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before your consideration House Bill 738. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 738, introduced by Fitzgerald, a bill for an act entitled an act revising the Montana Wheat and Barley Checkoff Program, exempting the Wheat and Barley Committee from state procurement requirements and a certain state employee pay provisions, providing rulemaking authority, amending section, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 738. What is your pleasure, Senator Welborn?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when the committee does rise and report having under consideration House Bill 738, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Welborn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 738 basically changes the way the procurement is done with the Wheat and Barley Committee. The Wheat and Barley Committee is, by way of information, is a producer-driven checkoff. 100% of the money that flows into that is collected from producers, and they just want to have a little bit more flexibility in the way, so they've got can be a little bit more timely in hiring people of their choosing, sidestepping another, or you know, going another step with the Department of Administration. I did ask the question in committee to make sure that it was abundantly clear that it doesn't change their appropriation or that process. It's just how items within that wheat and barley committee are procured, and it gives them the ability to make some of their own hiring decisions. So that's basically what the bill does, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Senator Welborn, you'd like to close. The senator is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Welborn that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 738, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye, and those vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and one senator votes nay.
49 senators have voted aye and one having voted no. House Bill 738 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before you for your consideration House Bill 767. Will the clerk read the title and history of the bill?
House Bill 767, introduced by Kazmir, a bill for an act entitled an act providing Board of Livestock review of proposed brands, providing rulemaking authority, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 767. What is your pleasure, Senator O'Brien?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill number 767, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a one-pager. We love one-page bills. This is also one of, I'm going to say, a top five out of our ag committee. And there was a little bit of a struggle of who a bunch of us wanted to carry it. Somehow I won that battle. Delighted to. Bill essentially does two things. For it's about branding, and I brought my branding scarf that has I got from the Historical Society. So if you wanted to come take a look at some of the brands, I don't know if those are just Montana brands or if those are just brands in general for fashion, but we'll just leave it at that. Anyway, to business. The bill does essentially two things. It essentially, on line 21, the board may review applications that contain characters or images within a proposed mark or brand that is not currently recorded in the department. So bring your own brand. And then the second piece is that no longer, it kind of puts us into the new century of you don't have to find it in the book. You don't have to find one of the brands that exists now in livestock. You can just put it digitally. It doesn't belong in a book. So it's a great bill. We were all excited about it in Ag Committee, and that's what I have. Thanks.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator O'Brien, for officially making you one of the branded members of the Senate Agriculture. As Senator talked about, most of us grew up, and Senator Asp was very good at collecting brand books. In fact, he showed me my grandfather's brand from 1864, which is pretty cool. But if you want to pass your time, just go to the Montana State Library. They have all the brands recorded, and you can get lost in branding.
Senator Bartell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do would just like to speak to the bill. I was supposed to carry this bill on the Senate floor, but apparently the chairman shows where his loyalty is at, and obviously it's not with me. Thank you. Please vote yes.
Seeing no further discussions, Senator Bryan, we'd like to close. The Senator is closed. Question now arises. arises on the motion of Senator O'Brien when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 767 and recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye, and those vote no, as any member voted. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators have voted aye.
50 senators haven't voted aye. House Bill 767 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before you for your consideration House Bill 91. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 91, introduced by Sprunger by request of the State Library Commission, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws providing state aid to public libraries, including certain credit to tribal college libraries in the definition of a public library, extending the termination date for the per capita state aid formula for public libraries, increasing the per resident aid amount, providing a revised statutory appropriation amending sections, and providing effective dates.
Are there corrections? Any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
1 through 6.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 91. What is your pleasure, Senator Small?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 91, that to recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Small.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 91 is a bill from the State Library that is supported by the Governor's Office and the Montana Library Association. The bill reauthorizes state aid to public libraries for another 6 years, and without reauthorization, libraries would cease to receive state aid funding. The bill modifies 22-1-326, Montana Code annotated, to include accredited tribal college libraries that provide services to the public in the meaning of public library. So there are four tribal colleges that are public libraries. They'd be receiving the aid. House Bill 91 also increases the per capita funding amount from 40 cents to 50 cents per capita. The per capita amount is tied to the decennial census, so over the duration of 10 years, it went up 10 cents. This increase is the first increase in the per capita amount since the statutory appropriation was created in 2013. The increase helps address the cost of inflation libraries face and allows for the addition of accredited tribal college libraries. The total appropriation of HB 91 is $542,000, $512,000. The current annual appropriation is $433,690. So the actual fiscal increase is $108 and $422. However, because 22-1-327 is scheduled to sunset, the fiscal note will show the full amount of the appropriation rather than the difference. The State Library retains none of the funding for administrative purposes, and every penny is distributed to public libraries. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for the carrier, please.
Does the carrier yield?
Carrier yields.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, are you advocating a tax increase here?
Mr. Chair, Senator, I don't suppose I'm necessarily advocating for one, but if we're going to keep these libraries open, we have to do something, and this seems to be the route that they're wanting to take, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill. Mr. Chair, members of the body, just to provide a little bit of background, I did quite a bit of research on this because I thought it was a very interesting subject. So as far as keeping libraries open, this is not going to affect them staying open. This is all just providing supplemental funding for supplemental programs that are outside of a library's normal operation. So this isn't like base aid or anything like that. Just to speak to the only concern I have with this bill is the accredited tribal college libraries. So the the library board had to go through and change all their rules because they didn't qualify. They did that, and then they're trying to get this legislation through because the law doesn't allow these college libraries to qualify. And so in doing some research as to why, I stumbled on the section of law that actually is establishing libraries. The process that they go through is they have to actually take and petition the people. They have to the people have to vote on actually establishing these libraries, and then there has to be a board of trustees that is also set up for these libraries as well. College libraries don't actually have a board of trustees. They're trying to use in rulemaking. They're trying to use the college board of trustees as the library board of trustees ex so de facto. And as far as there's really a big issue when you try to talk about how. The reason why they can't typically institute a public library on it for the purposes of the tribal area. So in finding out what the main roadblock was, is that it's overlapping onto multiple library districts. So essentially, these areas are already being served by public libraries. This is just essentially changing the definition, and one of the reasons if these, and I think there should be a way for these tribal for us to institute tribal public libraries, but there needs to be a process for them to go through, to go to the voters and actually institute these libraries and make sure that they want to be served specifically by these tribal libraries in that area. So I would encourage the body to do a no vote on this, just because it's trying to do a good thing, but it's trying to do it in a really backwards, incorrect way. There should be a way for these libraries to be instituted on tribal land, the same way we have public libraries funded the same way, and I think that would be a lot better route to go than unfortunately disenfranchising a lot of folks that have voted for all these libraries, and then we're just going to basically say, well, a public library is basically whatever we say it is, and it doesn't really matter what the people think. So I would encourage a no vote on this for that purpose. I think there's a better way of doing this and respecting our libraries and in getting the tribes what they need. Thank you.
Senator Trepas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. You know, I mean no ill will towards the sponsor or carry on this bill, but I've kind of seen what libraries have developed into in the recent years, and I think it's unfortunate that libraries have become controversial. They used to be very neutral, but I think largely of their own doing, they've got themselves into promoting left-leaning agendas, including events like Drag Queen Story Hour, and that's a social issue, and I know you didn't probably expect that on this bill, but that's kind of what I've seen locally. So I have concerns about giving them more money at this time. My local library is also going to be running a levy, and they certainly have toned down their promotion of certain left-leaning ideas on Facebook while they ask our completely red county for money at this time. So I also, in 2021, passed House Bill 501, which had to do with mask mandates on public property. And I passed that mostly because our local library was very heavy-handed with that in 2021. And so I just don't feel like giving them any more money at this point, but maybe we can revisit it in the future. Thanks.
Senator McLafferty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just going to be really short and really brief and let you know that public libraries are a place of learning, a place where people go to be educated, to find books that they can take home and read and bring back. This is a great bill, and I hope that you can vote for it and not worry about where your money goes, because our libraries is a good place to put our money. Thank you.
Senator Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, I too am concerned about the social problems we have with our libraries. If I remember correctly, there's a bill coming that talks about pornographic books that we do not approve of. So why are we funding groups that we don't approve of? In addition, I no disrespect for the sponsor, but libraries on the reservations are really the responsibility of the federal government. Why are we giving them money and not the federal government? The federal government has that responsibility. They should take it.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, this, of course, came through education. Oh, yeah, this is an education bill. This is not a social issue. This is about 10 cents after a couple of decades to improve our libraries. These are where people go. They take their kids. This is about educating our kids and giving them opportunities. And this is a great bill to do that. And I'm a little surprised at the direction this has all taken. Tribal libraries offer opportunities to everybody on the reservation. Somehow we're trying to make that a bad thing. They shouldn't do that. Well, any chance that we can educate kids and get them in and have them read books and learn is a good thing. So for those reasons, I'll be supporting this.
Senator Heimbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When I was home this for transmittal, Representative Phelan and I went to a meeting, and the meeting was about why we were against having things in libraries, and the comment was, kids don't use libraries anymore. They're using these all this electronic stuff, and so my comment was, I'll sure remember that the next time funding comes up. If you're not using them, we just will not fund them. So I'm going to be a no vote.
Senator McKamey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. I will tell you who else uses libraries an awful lot, and those are people who do not have access to internet or a computer at their home. And one of the reasons that they use it is because they can't afford a computer or internet at their home. And there are a lot of things, including business, a variety of things that they need to be able to access a computer and internet. And the libraries provide this service, and I think it's a really important service to the community. And so I definitely will support this. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill. Libraries are a place for young parents, particularly full-time stay-at-home moms, to get a break from the house and to go and take their children. It's a safe place to take their children. This is in many communities. I can't say all communities. But to take their children and have a sweet place to listen to tiny tales and do the barnyard dance and to work with other parents, other mamas who are having struggles with their three-year-olds, just like three-year-olds can be challenging. These are our community centers for so many places and where so many parents can get resources to help them be better parents. And I walk into our local library that has branches throughout our county, and they are full and happy places to be. And we need to support that. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion on the motion, Senator Small, would you like to close?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to close on that. I, too, am surprised the direction some of that took. Fortunately, I've never been assaulted by a public library or anything, so I'm feeling kind of good about this bill yet. So just a clarification of a couple things. Generally, tribal college libraries, they apply for competitive and one-time grants. That's kind of how they stay open and they flourish. In these smaller communities, like where I'm from, and I could use the two local, semi-local tribal libraries as an example, these are places where computers are housed because people don't have internet. These are places where they go to get on the computer. Heck, they even run some of the missing persons clearinghouse through the tribal libraries, the one primarily in Blackfoot country up there, or Blackfeet country, sorry. And then the two at the house, they're meeting areas. I don't know if a lot of people in here have gone to a tribal college, but probably the first thing you're going to notice when you go through the Dora one is the surrounding communities are in them. It's not just a bunch of Indian kids sitting in there. I mean, it's everybody from 20 to 30 miles away. They're an affordable way to get an education for those even who don't live on the reservation, which I would think personally would make them a public place, a public school, and a public library all in one. I'm assuming that the good senator from Great Falls behind me is correct. I would imagine that probably not all the tribal libraries have a separate board entity, because the colleges themselves are run a little bit different than what we'd be looking at with the university systems or any of the other schools that we probably generally deal with. So when it's all said and done, it's probably a small price to pay for these communities that don't have a lot of options, don't have access to the internet, computers, or the ability to afford those type of things, to keep them open so the kids can go read, go do their schoolwork, and, you know, have an opportunity. So that being said, I guess I'll close on this bill, and I think it's all right.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Small that when this committee does arise in port, after having under consideration House Bill 9-1, you recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Weber? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 33 senators vote aye and 17 senators vote nay.
33 senators have voted aye and 17 have voted no. House Bill 9-1 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you now have before you your consideration House Bill 809. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 809, introduced by Logie, a bill for an act entitled an act revising traffic violation laws, revising standards for work zone boundaries, providing a specific distance for enhanced penalties if a traffic violation occurs in proximity to a highway worker, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 809. What is your pleasure, Senator Dunwell?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does arise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 809, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Dunwell.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, this bill simply adds clarification to exactly where an active work zone is along the highway. You probably have seen miles and miles of cones and said, well, there's no worker there. This adds clarification. What it does, what 809 does, it defines that an active work zone is within 1,000 feet of workers being present. And this is for determining a work zone traffic violation. Again, it's for clarification. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the bill? Seeing none. Senator Dunwell, would you like to close? And Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Dunwell that when this committee does rise in port after having under consideration House Bill 809, I recommend the same be concurred in. As many as in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will read the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators haven't voted aye. House Bill 809 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before you for your consideration House Bill 584. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 584, introduced by Nicola Kakos and others, a bill for an act entitled an act prohibiting certain government lawsuits against firearms or ammunition manufacturers.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 584. What is your pleasure, Senator Treibus?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 584, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Treibus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and body. This is titled An Act Prohibiting Certain Government Lawsuits Against Firearms or Ammunition Manufacturers. There's a whole new section here, and in line 12, it says that there's a government entity prohibitions on lawsuits related to firearms or manufacturers, except as provided in subsection 2 here. A government entity may not bring a suit against a firearms or ammunition manufacturer, trade association, or seller for recovery of damages resulting from or injunctive relief of abatement of a nuisance relating to the lawful design, manufacture, marketing, or sale of firearms or ammunition to the public. There's a couple exceptions to that, as noted in the subsection. Certainly, you can read those if you like, and we can. I'll take questions. Thanks.
Are there amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend House Bill 584 with Amendment HB 0508-002-002, signed Senator Olson.
What is your pleasure, Senator Olson?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 584 be amended and request that Amendment HB 584.2.2 be posted and deemed read.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, I'd like to draw your attention to my amendment, because that will help. First, I'd like to, we all know that government is organized to protect people, and specifically under the Constitution, Article 13, Section 1.2, the legislature is obligated to provide protections for the people against harmful and unfair practices by corporations. And yet, in this bill, we are, one, doing a complete prohibition for government to do anything against the manufacturer of firearms or ammunitions, even if they cover, even if they cause damage to people. So in this section, there are two exceptions, but that is, as you can read in line eight, section A is for breach of contract. So that means if we lose some money, or damage to property, but we've removed, I think it was removed in the House because this is a new bill, we moved when it causes damage to people. So I believe that we are taking away a power of government and a power of the Attorney General's office to prevent harm by a manufacturer that would make guns or ammunition that was faulty in some way. And we heard in committee that that's already happened to a Montanan that was injured when a gun went off because of the manufacturer's defect. And it is a strict liability issue, but this prevents the government, our AG, who is tasked with protecting the people of Montana, to go after these for injunctive relief and for actual damages when they cause harm. And so that's the amendment, brings that back in. There's still the prohibition. It just makes sure that the government, through the AG, can bring injunctive relief and actually can recover benefits if somebody through the, you know, was harmed at work. That's what D is like workers' comp. If you're harmed, if you're a police officer and you're harmed because the gun went off due to a defect and you're therefore injured, you have a work comp claim. And this would allow the state to recover that work comp benefits. So I think this is a good amendment. It doesn't change the goal of the bill. It just makes sure that in addition to money, property, that the we also leave an exception for the AG, for government, to protect the people. Thank you.
Is there a discussion on the amendment? Senator Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, the bill is about government entity may not bring a suit. It's not about individuals. You have a gun that's defective. As an individual, you have every right to sue. This amendment was tried in Judiciary Committee, rejected there, and I urge your rejection here as well.
Senator Tripas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd also ask you to reject this amendment. Really is an erosion of the intent of the bill, which is to ensure our Second Amendment rights not be infringed on by our own government here, especially by arbitrary means, as I think we've seen in some other states. Not that that's maybe as much of a danger here, but I certainly think that we reject this, and if the good senator of the amendment wants to bring a different bill, that's certainly a possibility. Thanks.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Olson, would you like to close on your amendment?
I just would like to remind everybody that we already have exceptions for the loss of money because we as government purchase bad guns. We have an exception to cover property that's damaged because of defective guns. We certainly must want to include damages if our very own state workers and the people of Montana are harmed by these guns. So I would encourage you to vote yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Question now arises on the amendment of Senator Olson that House Bill 584 be amended. As many as are in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Senator Molnar, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 16 senators vote aye and 33 senators vote nay.
16 senators having voted aye and 33 having voted no, the amendment fails. Are there further amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Oh. Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's unfortunate we couldn't put the amendment on the bill. I think this sends a really odd message to the people of Montana that we are willing to allow compensation for damage to property, but not to our families, Mr. Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, this really just has to do with government entities not being able to bring suit, especially arbitrarily, which I think, like it mentioned, happens in other places especially. And so individuals still have the option if things go wrong to bring suit, and that, as was mentioned, doesn't prevent that. So I think this is a good bill to definitely protect our Second Amendment rights, but allows for reasonability in law and judiciary. Thanks.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Treibus that when this committee has raised support after having it under consideration, House Bill 584, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 35 senators vote aye and 15 senators vote nay.
35 senators having voted aye and 15 having voted no. Senate Bill or House Bill 584 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before you for your consideration House Bill 425. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 425, introduced by Kerr, Carpenter, and others, a bill for an act entitled NAC, generally revising laws related to restitution payments under the Youth Court Act, revising the definition of victim, extending the jurisdiction of the Youth Court related to restitution payments to a youth's 25th birthday, providing the restitution paid under the Youth Court Act is not subject to subrogation, requiring the court to relieve an individual of restitution payments at the end of the court's jurisdiction in certain circumstances, providing that outstanding restitution at the expiration of the jurisdiction of the court is void, allowing a youth to petition the court for a modification of a restitution order, and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 425. What is your pleasure, Senator Gross?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 425, I recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the Senate, this is a bill that makes small changes with big impacts in our youth courts. This bill provides better direction to our youth courts and an opportunity for a fresh start for young folks who have made good faith efforts to make amends and repay restitution. Likewise, it provides accountability for youth who do not make a good faith effort to make amends, and it does this by extending the timeline to repay restitution to the age of 25. This bill, members, is very important because it's been shown that this type of policy leads to better outcomes for youth who got in trouble early in their lives, and that we would be able to expect these kids as they head down the path into adulthood to be good, productive, law-abiding members of society. We had no opponents to this bill, and it came out unanimously from your Judiciary Committee. I hope we can do concur. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Senator Gross, would you like to close? She has closed. The Senator now rises on the motion of Senator Gross that when this committee does rise in port after having under consideration House Bill 425, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators have voted aye.
50 senators having voted aye. House Bill 425 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before you for your consideration House Bill 264. Clerk, read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 264, introduced by Bertaglio and others, for an act entitled NAC establishing a decennial veterans long-term care needs study, defining scope of the study, assigning staffing responsibility to the Department of Public Health and Human Services, establishing reporting requirements, providing an appropriation, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 6.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 264. What is your pleasure, Senator McKamey?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill number 264, that we recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator McKamey.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, back in 2006, there was a Montana Veterans Long-Term Care Needs Study, and they found it very, very helpful. They decided that they would like to do another one, but tie it into intervals of the decennial. So decennial, I guess is how you say it, the decennial count for population, et cetera, and to have a decennial veterans long-term care needs study so they could define the scope of what needs to be done and how the Department of Defense and Department of Veterans Affairs can best meet the needs of the veterans and know exactly what those needs are. So that's essentially the scope of it. When asked how the study would be covered financially, the Department of Defense said that they would be able to take the task and it would be absorbed into their duties and there would be no extra charge to the state. Mr. Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chair.
Is there discussion on the bill? Seeing no discussion, Senator McKamey, would you like to close? Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator McKamey that when this committee does rise to report after having under consideration House Bill 264, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 47 senators vote aye and 3 senators vote nay.
47 senators having voted aye and 3 having voted no. House Bill 264 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before you for your consideration House Bill 663. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 663, introduced by Kearns and others, a bill for an act entitled an act establishing the Montana Veterans Hall of Fame and providing rulemaking authority.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you have before you House Bill 663. What is your pleasure, Senator Fox?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 663, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Fox.
Mr. Chair, the House Bill 663, as the title states, creates a veteran, Montana Veterans Hall of Fame. The members of the Hall of Fame would be the recipients of the governor's veteran commendation. Each year, veterans are nominated, and they're given a veteran's commendation. Last year, there was 51. In 2021, there was 31. And they'd make up members of the Hall of Fame. The Board of Veterans Affairs will may be directed to assume responsibility for accepting and adjudicating nominations to the Veterans Hall of Fame. Mr. Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I would just like to state that the six Native Sons of Montana that are the recipients of the Medal of Honor should be included. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Fox, would you like to close? He has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Fox that when this committee does rise report having under consideration House Bill 663, it recommend the same be concurred in. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and one senator votes nay.
49 senators having voted aye and one having voted no. House Bill 663 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before you for your consideration Senate Bill 585. Will the clerk read the title and history of the bill?
House Bill 585, introduced by Weathermax and others, a bill for an act entitled NAC establishing a memorial for Montana's organ donors on the Capitol complex, requiring private funding, amending sections, and providing for contingent voidness.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 585. What is your pleasure? Senator Heyman.
Mr. Chair, I move that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 585, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Heyman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill would establish a memorial on the east portion of the Capitol complex for Montanans' organ donors. It is a project of the Governor's Office of Community Service. They've been working quite a while on this, and currently donors' names are hung on metal leaves down on the first floor. You may have noticed that metal tree structure. This would take that donation, take that honorarium to a different level, and it would be a permanent, sustainable reflection space for donor families. The Governor's Office of Community Service proposes an outdoor memorial on the Capitol grounds. The Threshold of Life, designed by a Bozeman-based architect, considers the sloping topography of the Capitol Park area and creates an intentional space for all visitors. The design is an inclusive memorial to honor past, present, and future individuals and families impacted by organ donation. This new addition to the Capitol complex will honor generations of Montanans for years to come, and it will be paid for by donations. No funds from the general fund will be used. I ask you to vote green.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator McClafferty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate. I just want to say I think this is a beautiful way to say thank you to those who have given so much. I have a little nephew who was a recipient of a heart transplant, and today he is a vibrant five-year-old who just enjoys life, and his parents are just so blessed to have him. I hope that everybody can vote yes for this. Thank you.
Senator McCamey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A few days ago, perhaps you saw this on your desks, and it is the example of, an illustration of what the Threshold of Life memorial will look like. And just reminding you that this is done by private funds, and it is a beautiful way to honor people who have been recipients as well as donors. Mr. Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Hayman that when this committee does its rising report, after having under consideration House Bill 585, that recommends same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 26 senators vote aye and 24 senators vote nay.
26 senators haven't voted aye and 24 haven't voted no. House Bill 585 has been concurred in on second reading. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, now I have before you for your consideration H.J. 14. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Joint Resolution 14, introduced by Sheldon Galloway, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the State of Montana, acknowledging and thanking military veterans who served in the Korean War and recognizing those from Montana who sacrificed their lives.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1.
Committees, members of the committee, you have now before you H.J. 14. What is your pleasure? Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Resolution Number 14, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator
Thank
Cuff.
You, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the body, it's a good and important thing once in a while to slow down and think about the past. And I got a little jolt of this the other day during our committee, State Administration Committee, when this came up. And because of my reaction, I basically got voted into presenting this. I'm going to read the resolution. Whereas on June 25, 1950, Communist North Korea invaded South Korea, thereby initiating the Korean War. And whereas President Harry S. Truman ordered U.S. military intervention to help stop the attack on June 27, 1950. Whereas approximately 1.7 million men and women of the U.S. Armed Forces served and fought during the Korean War to defeat the spread of communism. And whereas many Montanans have made the ultimate sacrifice in serving our country and securing the freedoms we enjoy today. Whereas these brave heroes answered the call of our national anthem, which states, "Then conquer we must when our cause is just." And whereas these heroes and their families deserve honor and remembrance for the tremendous sacrifices they made in their country. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the State of Montana that the 68th Legislature hereby recognizes and thanks veterans of the Korean War and their families for the sacrifices in service to their country. Be it further resolved that the legislature acknowledges and honors the following Montana service members who made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation in the Korean War. I'm one of the few on this floor today that can actually remember that. And I had two older brothers that marched off to war. And I remember when they left. I remember one bought my mother a radio to set on the table, a little portable radio. Did have a plug-in, but our power in those days was off and on. And this was a little battery-powered Zenith radio. So she could follow the news and where they were at. So without going further, I tend to get a little choked up in committee, and I might again. They came back. Both of my brothers came back. And I'll tell you about a Sunday dinner right after my oldest brother came back. I was probably 3.5, 4 years old when he went over, and around 5 when he came back. And he was kind of my hero. And we sat down to Sunday table around our round table. Down in the river bottom, it was not unusual that somebody might be running low on food and poach a venison or just do a little target shooting. But we were just sat down around the Sunday dinner, his first time back in our house. Somebody fired a shot down in the... Somebody fired a shot down in the river bottom. And bam, just like that, my brother was splayed out face down on the floor. It's a pure automatic reaction. He had been in some real tough combat situations. But that's my story. That's my story, and I feel it. Hadn't felt like this in quite a while. What I would like, there's 137 names here. I'd like you to go through. These are the guys. These are the guys who did not come home. And it was tough sledding. That was a mean situation they were in. But I'd like you to look through. I only found one in there from Lincoln County. It surprised me. But 14 from Flathead County. But the names are listed by county. There's 137 names. And I'd like to just take if you'd give them, Mr. Chairman, just a moment of silence to look at those names. And Mr. Chairman, I'll sit down.
Yep. Senator Cuff, we'll stand at ease for a minute. Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Seeing no further discussion, Senator Cuff, would you like to close? Senator is closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Cuff that when this committee does rise report, after having under consideration House Joint Resolution 1-4, you recommend the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, voting no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will read the vote, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators have voted aye.
50 senators having voted aye. House Joint Resolution 1-4 has been concurred in on second reading. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
You have heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion carries.
Secretary, read the report.
Mr. President, we are committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate Bill 536 passed. Senate Bill 533 passed as amended. Senate Resolution 64 adopted. House bills concurred in. House bills 91, 158, 159, 264, 388, 418, 425, 565, 84, 585, 639, 641, 663, 738, 767, 777, 809, 8, House Joint Resolution 14. That is the
Senator Curdy.
Mr. President, I move adoption of the committee report.
Committee of the whole report be adopted. As you've heard the motion of Senator Curdy, that the committee of the whole report be adopted, as many in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, nay. Has every member voted? Senator Boldman. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 48 have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
48 haven't voted yes, 0 haven't voted no. The committee of the whole report has been adopted. Thank you, Senator Curdy.
That is all, Mr. President.
Objection, we'll go to order of business number 9, motions. Seeing none, we'll go to order of business number 12. Oh, Senator, Mr. Majority Leader.
Sorry, Mr. President, that was the... I have two motions here. Mr. President, I move to refer Senate Bill 533 by Senator Nolan, revise laws related to out-of-game hunting and fishing to the Finance and Claims Committee.
And that objection is ordered.
Thank you. And then I'll move to refer House Bill 91 by Representative Sprunger, revise laws related to public library state aid to the Finance and Claims Committee.
That objection is ordered. Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 15 be taken from the Senate Tax Committee and placed on second reading on Monday, the 3rd of April.
Okay, Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the committee. This was an interim committee bill that had a very, very close vote in committee, and I think that it deserves a day to present before you. It essentially expands the elderly tax credit bill for homeowners and property, and I'm sorry, for homeowners and renters. And it gives us an opportunity to address the renters. And we have had, now that we've had the session and we're at the point where we are in session, we haven't seen a bill that helps specifically address the renters and the housing crisis. So this is a decent bill that deserves its day on the floor. And I strongly encourage you to consider allowing it that, to have a debate and to listen to the opportunities so that we can serve the people of Montana. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to allow for two proponents and two opponents, and please keep to the motion. We'll first go with proponents. Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. I'm going to speak in support of this motion. I think that, as you heard from the good sponsor, the bill came out of the interim. It came out of good bipartisan work. There's not a conversation. There's not a day that goes by. There's not a conversation about affordable housing and what are we doing to send some relief to folks back home. So with that, I think it's certainly worthy of a debate for this whole chamber, and would vote for Go Green, and let's make sure that the folks back home know that we're serious about providing some relief and some affordable housing, some workforce housing for folks back home. Thanks.
Are there any other proponents? Seeing none, we'll go to the opponents. Senator, it's your motion. So you opened on your motion, you'll be allowed to close on your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President.
And now we're on opponents. Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, Mr. President, members of the committee, I would request that you resist this motion. We have other bills working through the process, working on workforce housing. So, and this bill has a very large fiscal note, about $35 million a year. So, not that these individuals need some assistance, but we are working on other issues. Please vote no on this motion.
Are there any other opponents? Seeing none, would the senator care to close on her motion?
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to be a proponent, and I want to open, and I want to close. Ladies and gentlemen, we just voted to send $100 million to the counties for roads, and consistently what we've been hearing about...
Senator O'Brien. to the bill.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is an opportunity for us to revisit what was introduced at the beginning of the session. And we have nothing that's renter specific, and we have no, at this stage in the session, we have no long-term property tax bills that have addressed that specific long-term. So encourage that you vote yes, please.
Okay, so the motion is to take Senate Bill 15 out of tax and put it on second for Monday. All those in favor will signify by voting aye. Those opposed, nay. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Cuff. Senator Weber. Does the minority leader know where your senator is? Or would you like to excuse her?
Mr. President, she was having trouble earlier online. She had a delay on her vote. I don't know if that's still happening or not. I'll have to excuse her. Thank you.
The secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 21 have voted yes, 26 have voted no.
21 members haven't voted yes, 26 haven't voted no. The motion does not carry. Again, to motions, so we're staying on 9. Senator Heyman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 517 be taken from taxation and placed on second reading on Monday, the 3rd of April.
Senator Heyman.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a revenue bill. It is about capturing revenue from short-term rentals, and it would allow us to also determine how many short-term rentals are in the state. I think this body should have an opportunity to learn more about this bill and be able to weigh in. And I ask you to reconsider.
Okay. We will allow for two proponents and then two opponents on the motion. First, we'll go to proponents. Are there any proponents? Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. President and members of the body. We don't have any sense at this stage in the game. This is an opportunity. Let me tell
Senator,
you.
Senator O'Brien,
yes, that's why.
Please, to the motion.
Yep, to the motion. This is another opportunity for us to address the issue as a body of the whole. And housing is something we need to address as a body of the whole. For that reason, we need to bring that bill back.
Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Having not served on the Tax Committee ever, this is a bill that I would really like to hear on the floor and learn a little bit more about and discuss with the body. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator, for keeping to the motion. Next, we'll allow for two opponents. Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, I would ask you to resist this motion. We had a very good hearing, and it's just a bill that I don't think does what they think it might be able to do, and so I would request that you do not support this motion. Thank you.
Senator Asp.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have gotten several messages from home last couple of days about this. They don't want this bill.
Okay, so we're on the motion of Senator Heyman to take Senate Bill 517 from tax and move it to second reading on Monday. I apologize, Senator Heyman, close. You can close.
I'm closed.
Okay, I apologize. So to take Senate Bill 517 out of tax and put it on second reading on Monday, All those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, nay. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 21 have voted yes, 27 have voted no.
21 haven't voted yes, 27 haven't voted no. That motion has failed. Is there any other motion? Senator Dunwell.
Thank you. Mr. President, maybe this third time will be the charm, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 194 be taken from Senate Tax Committee and placed on second reading on this Monday, April 3rd, 2023, please. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Dunwell.
Mr. President, this continues the theme and bills that address our need for affordable housing and affordable renters. In particular, this bill gives a tax credit to landlords whose rentals are at or below fair market rent. First of all, I do want to thank our good chair,
Senator,
and our hardworking tax committee.
Senator, to the motion.
Well, here's the backstory, Mr. President, please. Thank you, Chair Hertz, for allowing me all the time that you did. We had this hearing in January, 2 months ago. The good chair allowed me to work on a bipartisan basis on amendment after amendment till we got it right. And we did get it right, finally. So we had a plan to take it off the table yesterday. My good seatmate across the aisle moved to take it off the table. And we had a couple of folks missing who were not able to make committee. So I just appeal to you all to let's hear this bill. And you can find out what that great compromise amendment is when we put it on the bill on second reading on the floor. Please.
Okay, so
yes.
We'll allow for two proponents and then two opponents, and please keep to the motion and to the bill. So first we will go with proponents. Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is our third swing at trying to do something for immediate relief related to housing, and I hope we'll hit a home run on this third swing. Thank you.
Are there any other proponents? Senator Zolnikoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was actually the one working on the amendment to make this work as rents go up. Incentives to landlords to keep the prices down seemed like a pretty solid idea. I know we're supposed to talk about the motion, not the bill, but I thought we were there. I missed it the other day, obviously, because I was out, but I liked the concept and where it was going and would support this. Thank you.
Okay, now we will go for opponents. Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body, Mr. President. I would ask that you resist this motion. As the sponsor said, we did have a very good hearing. It's been hanging around in Senate tax for a while. We've been discussing it, and I just think there's better alternatives out there that either local governments or other individuals or even us could reward landlords for providing rent at less than market value. So I'd request do not concur in this motion. It is also a brand new tax credit.
Are there other opponents? Seeing none, would the senator care to close? Senator has closed. So the question will be to take Senate Bill 194 out of tax and put it for a second reading on Monday. Those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 19 have voted yes, 29 have voted no.
19 haven't voted yes, 21 haven't voted no. The motion does not carry. Are there any other motions? Senator Emmerich. Please keep to your motion. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that Senate Bill 449 be taken out of Senate Finance and Claims and moved to second reading.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. This is a very good bill. that I worked on, got the Department of Revenue on board, passed out of committee. I'd like to see this debated on the floor because it did pass out of Senate tax and with some support after it's a bit of a complicated bill, but after explaining it to the committee members, they did support it. And this bill, for sake of time, was referred directly past second reading to Senate Finance and Claims, and so it was unfortunately tabled there. But I think that this is a very good bill. It deserves a debate on the floor, and since it never had that, I think this is a very worthy motion, and I think we should vote green.
Okay, I will allow for two proponents and two opponents. First, we will start with proponents. Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be supporting this motion. This has very good policy in it. I believe the hang-up is maybe two FTE that the department says they need, so I'll work with it. Senator Embridge. We can put a suck-it-up motion on the bill, and they can do it with existing FTE.
Are there other proponents? Seeing none, opponents. Senator Esp.
Thank you, Mr. President. Why vote no, and it feels so good to vote yes.
We were looking for opponents, Senator. Are there any opponents? Senator Flowers.
Mr. President, we tabled this unanimously, and I think it had a fair hearing. I think we all understood what the bill did. Well, almost unanimously, sorry. We had one outstanding exception.
To the bill, to the motion.
I think we all understood what this bill did, and it was clear that we didn't think it was a good idea. Please vote red.
Senator Glenn.
Thank you, Mr. President. There was two yes votes. My seatmate here, too, voted for it. And Senator Boltman, too? No, she didn't like it. Okay, so it seems to me that we're encouraging people to not pay their taxes, and that's a perception, whether that really is how it works or not. I think that's a perception, and I don't think that's good policy.
Okay, seeing how Senator Esp got a third person as a proponent, we will look for one more opponent, just to be fair.
I was an opponent.
Oh, you were. Okay.
Facetiously opponent.
Highly confused at this point. Senator, would you care to close on your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. I think that's exactly why this bill needs to be debated on the floor, is because of the confusion. Like I said, it is a rather complex bill, but when it's laid out, it actually makes a lot of sense, good policy. And as I said, the Department of Revenue was in support of this bill. They literally said it was a good bill, good policy, and I don't think that it discourages people to pay taxes. If that was the case, the Department of Revenue, that is their entire job, and I think that they would have been in opposition to this bill. So I would encourage a green vote, and I think this bill deserves some bipartisan support. Thank you.
So to the motion, which would be to move Senate Bill 449 onto second on Monday. All those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, nay. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 11 have voted yes, 37 have voted no.
11 haven't voted yes, 37 haven't voted no. The motion does not carry. Are there any other motions? Seeing none, we'll go to order business 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Regeer.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet Monday morning, 8 o'clock. We have three bills and get those done before the floor session, 8 o'clock Monday.
Senator Esp.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Finance and Claims in 5 minutes and 3:17. If you can be there to clock in before you go to your other meetings, we have two bills or one bill at least to hear.
Senator Small.
Yes, Mr. President, Senate Business and Labor, Tuesday morning, seven bills. And if I may, real quick, pages, would you please stand up? We bid you a farewell and thank you for the good week.
Thank you. Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. President. State administration meets today. I'm going to take 5 minutes and get down to finance and claims and help him check in. Then we'll gather up in about 10 minutes in our regular room 335, as far as I know. And we have, I believe, six bills to hear tonight. We'll do some executive action. Monday morning, we will take advantage, since our afternoon session, we had four bills scheduled. We're going to pick up at least two of those bills at 8 o'clock Monday morning, Senate State Administration. So thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Lenz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Public Health will be meeting as soon as we can get going, as soon as we have a quorum. Change of location, Old Supreme Court. Room 303, and like I say, as soon as we can get going, four bills and four executive actions.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Natural Resources will not be meeting today nor Monday, so we will be back in business. Thank you.
Senator Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Education, probably 3:30, depending on how the House. When our sponsors can get here, we've got bills to hear, but we've got lots of executive action to do in the meantime.
Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Tax will not meet again until Tuesday. Stay tuned. Watch your email.
Senator Friedel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Local Government will meet here in 5 minutes. We have a handful of bills. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. Chair, I rise on a point of personal privilege.
You may. Yep.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was trying to be respectful of speaking to only the motion on that blast, but I do have some other comments I want to share. We've done some work on housing, and I think we've done some good work when it comes to some zoning changes, opportunities to encourage more housing stock, and I think that's good for short-term and long-term solutions when it comes to the housing crisis. But we have not done a thing to deal with that crisis today. So those of us that come from Gallatin County are going to go back at this point and have nothing to tell our constituents about how we're going to fix this problem today. And the bakery owner that I talked to and the restaurateur and all those folks who can't find employees are still going to be left trying to find employees. And we won't bring a bill to this floor to get serious about doing something now that will be effective immediately. We have a few weeks left, and hopefully you've got some ideas on how we're going to fix this, but we just shot three down today that we won't even have a debate on this floor about. I don't think we're doing enough, and I don't think we're paying close enough attention to what our constituents want. They want some solutions now so people can get out of their campers, into apartments, and find a place where they can afford to live and work in our towns that are experiencing these incredibly high rents. So I hope we can get serious about that over the next couple of weeks. Thank you.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I be off the record now, the Journal, for a reminder?
You may.
Saturday, the legislative trap shoot, registration 11 o'clock. It's, if you don't know where the trap club is, straight out Montana, and it'll be on the right. So just get out there. If you haven't RSVP'd or anything, don't worry about it. Let's just get out there and have a good time.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a reminder that on Monday we'll be here at 10 o'clock on the floor session. Starting the floor session, we anticipate going all day. There will be multiple agendas. The first agenda is fairly close to being done, as I understand. There'll be 25 bills on that one, and then obviously the remaining Senate bills that were read over the rostrum today or come out of committee later today. So we should have a full day on Monday. So with that, Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand adjourned until the hour of 10 o'clock on April 3rd, 2023, the 66th legislative day.
You've heard the motion of the majority leader. All those in favor, say aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Senate will reconvene Monday at 10 a.m.